didn't realise there was just men here.
That's just lovely that God never lets go, and we've introduced loads of women with different circumstances, but God will never leave us or forsake us, and he's always with us and he'll never let us go. So I'm Yvonne, this is Sandra. We're going to maybe ignore you and act as if we're just having a wee chat, because obviously we're quite nervous. And when we're nervous, we talk very fast, the two of us. Sandra is also Irish, so it talks even faster at times.
Tell me to slow down.
Yeah, we'll try our best just to slow down and take our time. So Sandra, you've been a Christian for many years, have three grown-up children and one beautiful granddaughter, Nora. Being a Christian doesn't make us exempt from trials and troubles. Life was good, and then you got a devastating diagnosis of cancer. Would you share a little bit of this with us, please?
Back in June, actually the 9th of June 2019, out of the blue, I was diagnosed with endometrial cancer, which is womb cancer, at the age of 48, which was quite a shock to me, to be honest. I didn't feel right. I'd went to my GP. I just knew things were going wrong. And I ended up, I went for a biopsy. Didn't expect them to phone me and tell me, come back in, you've got cancer. But anyway, in the space from the 9th of June to the 1st of July, that's how quick it all happened. I was taken in the 1st, and my womb, ovaries and cervix, everything was removed. And they told me they thought that would be it, because when I done the CT scan, it showed it hadn't gone too far at that stage. It was at the very early stages of it. However, when I came back for my histology report, they went, we're really sorry, but it had spread within that 3 weeks that I had waited for my operation, and that I had to go for, they recommended radiotherapy and brachytherapy, which is basically external beam and internal radiotherapy, to prevent it coming back, making sure all the wee cells, everything was gone. And at this stage, to be honest, I really did. I was trusting God, because I remember going in for my operation, and I'd never been in hospital before, apart from having children, but never being put out under anaesthetic or anything. And I felt so, so calm, because everybody had been telling me, you're going to lie on that table and you'll be bawling your eyes out. But I didn't. I was just so, so calm. I was so aware of God's presence being with me at that time. And as I headed towards into August, going for my radiotherapy, I really felt God's presence was there with me. But I'll give you a wee bit of the background before I tell you what's happened afterwards. My sister, I hadn't seen her for years, but we found out in April time she was an alcoholic, which is why she hadn't been in contact with me. But I made that contact with her again, and we stayed in touch, and she was trying to recover from it, and she was working really, really hard at it. So in August, I started my radiotherapy, which is external beam. I had 5 weeks of it to do. And on the fifth week, I was feeling rotten, sore from burns, as you can imagine. I got a phone call on the Monday from my nephew to say that my sister, she had a massive bleed in her brain and was not going to survive. So I wanted to go over home, because it was in Northern Ireland, to see her before she passed. And unfortunately, because of the treatment, they couldn't let me go. And because she was in Northern Ireland, I couldn't get a boat on time to go there and come back for treatment, so I had to wait until the Friday. So I was praying to God, please, please, let me get over for the funeral at least, because in Northern Ireland, it's 3 days and you're buried. And God was good in that way. She passed away on the Wednesday. Poor Simon, he was left to arrange, because the brachytherapy was starting on the Tuesday when I came back. So he had to run up and arrange everything there for me. So I could only really go over on the Friday, and I had to be back on the Monday to arrange to go in for the brachytherapy on the Tuesday. still remember on the Friday, they asked me, did I want to ring the bell? You ring the bell at the end of that stage of treatment. And I was like, I don't know, but it did. And there was lots and lots of tears. And they were crying as well, because they knew what was happening. I still remember lying on top of the... And I forget the name of it, but when the beam was going round you, the radiotherapy, for those days, it was just surreal what was going on. I remember getting on the boat to go to Northern Ireland and thinking, this isn't really happening. This cannot happen. I was coping with the cancer, but when my sister passed away, I thought, nah, Lord, you can't do this. You know, I can't take this. It broke me at this stage when my sister passed away. He really did. That I thought, no, you just can't do this, Lord. I'd only got to know my sister again, and her family, and I went over, and my sister-in-law dropped me off at her house, and of course in Northern Ireland they have a wake, which is where the person is in the coffin and you see them. So when I walked into the house, the first thing I seen was my sister lying in the coffin. And that image really stuck with me. Came back home and I finished my treatment. And to be honest, I don't know if any of you have ever been through cancer. You rattle your way through it until you get through your treatment. And that's your main aim. But when it stops, you're lost. You don't know what to do with yourself. You have been working so hard to get yourself through this. This has been your focus, to get rid of this cancer and make sure it never comes back. But then you don't know what to do. And I honestly thought I could just pick the pieces up and go back to work, and then realise very quickly that wasn't going to happen. And then I ended up going into a very, very, very dark place. I'll let you.
Yeah, some of us know that dark place. Jane mentioned Corrie Ten Boom, and one of my favourite quotes is actually from Betsy Ten Boom. And it goes along the lines of, there's no pit too dark or too deep that God's love cannot reach deeper. We do have a God of light. His light can shine in the darkness. Viktor Frankl, in his book on Auschwitz, he summed up Auschwitz in this way. He said, if life has meaning and suffering is a part of life, then suffering has meaning. Have you found meaning in your suffering?
Yes, is the answer to it. When I hit that dark place, I really did go to the lowest that I have ever been. Jennifer and I, my sister, were brought up in a house full of violence. We didn't have a good childhood. When she passed away, that's all I could think of was everything from the past just flashed before me. Every time I looked somewhere, all I could see was Jennifer in a coffin. COVID came, and I had nobody where my friends and Christian friends, Christian family and church were there for me. They were gone. And so I found myself with nobody, absolutely nobody. And just like Cherie before, I kind of fell out with God. I was like, why are you taking me through this? Why have you done this? Why have you took my sister away? This isn't fair. But you know, it was in that dark place that I found him, that I've got closer to God than what I ever have before. I'm going to be honest here. I haven't shared much of this. There's not a lot of people know this, but I went into my bedroom and I didn't come out for 3 months. My husband, poor soul, had to suffer on his own. But I came out for meals and that was about it. And the rest of the time I spent in the bedroom alone with my thoughts. But in the darkest moments, and even having gone through cancer, and God could have taken me with it, I wanted to end my life. I just wanted to go home to be with God. That's all I wanted. And it was very selfish to think that way. I know that. And I had this plan in my head that I would just take a walk up to the Afton and jump in and end it. And it's very hard as a Christian to admit that, you know, you want to end your life, that life isn't good enough, it's not worth living. But it was. And it was that in that darkest place that God, that I reached out to him. And it was nothing, I couldn't say anything, I couldn't read my Bible. But I do remember screaming and screaming and screaming, help me. And he did. He comforted me. I knew he was wrapping his arms around me and holding me through that time. And this conference was supposed to take place. Yvonne had asked me to speak at it. And I can still remember, it was getting closer and closer to the date before COVID hit, and I thought, I can't do this. My mind's in no place to tell people God's great, because do you know what? Life is not great. But gradually God started to comfort me through COVID. I remember taking walks, and my go-to song is Even If by Mercy Me, and Casting Crowns, and I walked and walked and walked, and while I was walking, maybe this is a tip for somebody if you're having a rough time, I screamed, I shouted. I asked God, why are you doing this? Why did you take my sister? I had guilt. I felt dead guilty. I'm still alive. Why am I still alive and she's not? She's the one that needs saved. She was the one that needed saved and she wasn't. She left this earth not knowing him. And why do you keep me here? But he wants me here for a reason. He has me here for a purpose. And I'm seeing that purpose over this past 2 years. Sorry, I'm getting carried away.
No, you're absolutely fine. And it's difficult and it's hard. And we really appreciate your openness and honestness in it. You know, and when you said about likes of the feelings of forsakenness in your bedroom, and you know, and it did spring, the cross spring to mind, and the Lord knows our sufferings. You know, he was the one that said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Christ has suffered for us and has went through. He's also the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our tribulations that we might be able to comfort others in time of need. So what have you learned through your trials for others that might be going through trials right now in terms of comfort?
We have an amazing God.
Amen.
And today, this past week, past month, I've been thinking about this journey that I have taken with him. And it's been a hard time thinking about it again because it brings everything up and there are things I just don't want to think about. But there's a big but. It's amazing what he's done in 2 years. It's absolutely a joy. I can look back and see the journey that he has brought me on. And like my past, I can find now that I can praise him and thank him for the counsel that he gave me, for the people. I can still remember being in the Beetson and the people that I met, the people that we talked to, and they know there was something different in me, and they asked what was different, and the difference was I knew him. My own consultant who took my cancer away, he knew there was something, discovered he was a Christian, and he guided me at times. I had to go back in a couple of months after the treatment because actually I thought the cancer was back. I remember going for my first appointment and says, you should be feeling better. And actually I'm going, no, I actually feel worse. I feel really, it's really sore and really. But anyway, I went back and I had to have a repair job done because of the burns inside. And he sat and talked to me that day and he encouraged me by what I had been through and how I'd carried myself through it, especially the day of the operation, going in and remaining calm. He knew that God was with me. I've got to see my wee granddaughter, Nora. She's beautiful, absolutely stunning. Takes after her grandmother. But, you know, that journey with that and my daughter, being able to see that, being able to bring our granddaughter to church, that I'm still here. Don't get me wrong, there's times I still feel guilty that I'm still alive when I find a friend has died of cancer. I still ask God, why are you keeping me here? But then he reminds me by doing something. I'm back at college, I'm 51, and I've been back in college for this past year and have loved every single minute of it. It's been stressful at times, but it's been a fantastic journey. And the people and even the lecturers I've met and talked to, it's been lovely to share what God has done in my life and what he's still doing in my life. And the fact that he's brought me to this stage, I don't know what he has in front of me, but I know whatever's in front of me is going to be fantastic.
God often gives us a verse. Is there a particular verse that is very special to you during this time?
No, should I? Yeah, I have. I've opened up the spot. Excuse the sparks, but when you hit 51 and the menopause, everything goes wrong. I'm glad the foggy brain didn't hit. I was afraid of that today. Whenever Yvonne came to me again and asked me what I was still willing to speak at this conference today and share my story, we talked a little bit, and then when we came off the phone, this verse straight away came. To me, God spoke to me through it, and it says in 1 Peter 5, verse 10, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." We just have an amazing God. I've suffered, but you know what? It's all for him, and it's all for his glory. I didn't think I was sitting up here today telling my story about cancer. But you know what? Thank God he gave me it, and thank God that I am here today to tell you about it. And that you can praise him when you're going through it. And he does bring you out the other side smiling. He restores you and he does strengthen you. He's just amazing.
Amen. Thank you. One thing both Jane and Cherie and Sandra, you know, it's in their suffering they've found Christ. Same with Mary and Martha, in their greatest grief, you know, they found the glory of the resurrection. The disciples in the storm found Christ. And, you know, God doesn't just allow suffering and pain in our lives at times. God ordains suffering and pain. And if we're able to listen and we're willing, he can draw us to himself. Sometimes it's worth asking the purpose in this suffering, yes. A call to a deeper experience of Christ. It's possible in the darkness to find the light. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Thanks, Sandra.
Thank you.